Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we want to read verse 29. John chapter 8 and verse 29. This is our Lord speaking, and he said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." This particular verse, Jesus touched on several very important points. For one thing, he said that the Father sent him. That's a point that we emphasized in our lesson last week from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul said, "When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law." So Jesus indicated in this verse, John 8 and verse 29, that the Father did indeed send him. But he went on to say that the Father was with him. He placed special emphasis on that matter when he said that the Father had not left him alone. Jesus was confident of the Father's presence in his life. Of course, we should have that same confidence. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 is a quotation from what God said to Joshua many years ago, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Jesus believed that. But there's something else the Lord touched on. At the end of this verse, Jesus said that he always did those things that please the Father. And that's not the first time that Jesus touched on that. Let's look at John 4 and verse 34. Jesus revealed what provides sustenance for him. John 4 and verse 34, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat," or my food, "is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So throughout his ministry, Jesus endeavored to always do those things that pleased the Father. As we begin a new year today, we want to concentrate for a little while on following the Lord's example. And to be more specific, we want to consider his example of always doing those things that please the Father. In my judgment, that's a good goal for us to have as we go throughout this year, to always do those things that please the Father. So in that regard, we want to place special emphasis on following the example that was set before us by the Lord. We want to look at four categories of responsibilities that deserve our careful attention this year. And then as we look at those four areas of responsibilities, we want to look at some individual activities that are included in them. So don't think that we're only going to touch on four matters. We're going to touch on a lot more. But we do want to look at four categories of responsibilities that we need to pay careful attention to at all times. But I think the beginning of a new year is a good time to touch on these matters. And as we consider these things, remember the Lord's example. He said, "I always do those things that please the Father." So keep that example of our Lord in mind as we go through these general responsibilities that are given to us in God's Word. And then we want to look at some individual activities that are included in them. First, we need to endeavor to fulfill our responsibilities to the Scriptures. Notice what the Bible has to say about itself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God gave us the Scriptures for our benefit. Now remember the example that Jesus set before us. He said, I always do those things that please the Father. Well, how do we know what those things are that please the Father? Well, we have to go to the source that reveals those things to us, and that source is God's holy word. God's given us his word. It's his inspired word, the Bible is, and is given to us for our benefit. Well, we have a number of responsibilities that relate to that general category of fulfilling our responsibilities to the scriptures. We need to understand what they are. The Bible is God's holy inspired word. God gave it to us for our benefit. Well, we need to study them on a regular basis. I've learned to appreciate the example of the people who lived in the city of Berea. They're mentioned in Acts 17 and verse 11. They search the scriptures daily. That's something I try to do. I've been doing that for a long time. I have a Bible reading schedule that I follow. I can spend about 15 minutes in the morning reading the Bible. At the end of the year, I will have read through the entire Bible. I sometimes like to pass on something that I was told many years ago by a dear friend named Wallace Maxwell. He said, always begin your sermon with a Bible reading. He said, that way, if you mess up everything else, at least that part will have been good. I've always tried to remember that, and if you noticed, I always begin a scripture with a Bible reading. Well, in a similar way, I like to begin the morning with a Bible reading. That way, if nothing goes right the rest of the day, at least that part will have been good. I can't think of a better way to start off the day. Now, some people prefer to read at different times of the day. Some prefer to read in the middle of the day, some at night. Whatever the time is, we need to set aside some time to study God's holy word on a regular basis. How else are we going to know about those things that please the Father? Well, if we don't search the scriptures to learn what those things are, then we cannot follow the Lord's example. So it's important that we fulfill our responsibilities to the scriptures. One thing that we need to do is rightly divide them. That is, to handle them accurately. In my judgment, it would help us to adopt the sentiment that we find in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I enjoy studying Psalm 119. It's very long. I believe it has 176 verses. There are many wonderful statements found in that psalm that relate to God's holy word. But right there, close to the middle of it, the psalmist said, I really love your law. I meditate upon it all the day long. Well, as we think about following the Lord's example of always doing those things that please the Father, we need to fulfill our responsibilities to the Scriptures. That pleases the Father. But let's look at something else. We have responsibilities that relate to other people. Let's look at some specific activities, though, that would be included under that general category of responsibilities. Now, these are things that please the Father, and if we're going to follow the Lord's example, we're going to have to give careful attention to these matters. Well, for one thing, Jesus placed a lot of emphasis on service during his ministry. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. And read a few verses, beginning at verse 26. Now the disciples had some mistaken ideas about how to be great in the Lord's kingdom. They were constantly concerned about which one was the greatest. Jesus dealt with that issue on at least three occasions. This is one of them. Notice how he dealt with it on this occasion. Verse 26 of Matthew 20, but it shall not be so among you. He just talked about the power structure and the Roman government, how that There was the top leader, Caesar. Then there was local leaders and so forth. He said that might work okay in government, but he said it's not going to be that way among you. Now remember, Jesus was dealing with the disciples wanting to receive what they considered to be the top positions in his kingdom. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Our Lord said that the way to be great in his kingdom is by offering humble service unto others. Now let's consider what's written in Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. As we think about following the Lord's example of always doing those things that please the Father, we're going to have to fulfill our responsibilities to others. One particular matter is service that's offered through love. Since we've mentioned love, we need to talk about loving neighbors. I never cease to be amazed at how many passages in the New Testament have to do with what we consider to be the second commandment. That's the way Jesus called it, loving your neighbor as yourself. Look at Galatians 5 and verse 14. We just read verse 13, but verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Matthew 22, Jesus was asked to identify the first and great commandment. He did so. We'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. But Jesus also gave the second commandment, that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And in his great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse 12, Jesus explained what is involved in loving neighbors. He gave what we call the golden rule. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That is to treat others the way that you want to be treated. You know, if more people would give heed to that one commandment, this old world would be a lot more pleasant place to live, wouldn't it? Notice how the Apostle Paul dealt with this same commandment in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, let's start at verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. As we endeavor to follow our Lord's example of always doing those things that please the Father, we're going to have to give a lot of attention to loving neighbors. Now let's look at that matter just a little bit further. When it comes to dealing with others, we need to keep things in proper perspective. Let's look at Romans 12 and read verse 16. Romans 12 and verse 16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We have to keep things in perspective when we're dealing with other people. Over the years, I've had the unpleasant task of dealing with some people who did what we call talk down their noses at everyone. That's very unpleasant. The Bible teaches us to avoid that. to be able to relate to anyone on their level. And that doesn't mean that we give in to what they necessarily do. But we have to be able to empathize with others to be able to communicate with them. Notice also what's written in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In our dealings with other people, we have to keep things in proper perspective. Now let's go a little bit further. As we endeavor to fulfill our responsibilities to others, we need to mention the responsibility of forgiveness. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and read verse 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, "And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now, just how important is forgiveness? This is a point I always like to mention in connection with what we call the model prayer. When Jesus was preaching his great Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, he devoted a portion of that sermon to teaching his followers how to pray. Some people like to refer to this as the Lord's Prayer. I prefer to refer to the prayer in John 17 as the Lord's Prayer. That's just personal preference. I prefer to call the prayer that Jesus taught his followers in the Sermon on the Mount the model prayer. In that model prayer, Jesus taught his followers to petition God for certain things. One thing that the Lord touched on was forgiveness. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. After Jesus concluded that model prayer, he only touched on one particular part of it in more detail before he went on to deal with some other matters. He taught us to pray for forgiveness, but then he said this in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. This is the only part of the model prayer that Jesus gave a more detailed explanation of before he went on to deal with some other matters. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Our forgiveness is based on our willingness to forgive other people. Now, that's what Jesus taught. And that's what he expects his followers to practice. What about his example? You know where I'm going. When Jesus was on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A very important part in fulfilling our responsibilities toward other people is being willing to forgive. Well, what about loving enemies? Jesus touched on that in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, let's start at verse 43. "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Now keep in mind that the Bible does talk about different types of love. One particular kind of love is better known as brotherly love. That's an affectionate love that Christians have for one another because of our relationship with God. It's a very special kind of love. But then there's another type of love that the Bible has much to say about it, and that's the type that seeks the welfare of other people in all situations, even though sacrifice might be involved. That's the kind of love that the Lord instructs us to have for even enemies. Does the Lord expect us to go up to an enemy and give him a great big hug? No. But he says you can and you are to do good to your enemies, pray for them, and if they curse you, bless them in return. Now, is that easy? No, it isn't. But that's the Lord's will. As we think about our responsibilities toward other people, we have to include encouragement. You know, there's so much discouragement today in our world. It's refreshing to see some encouragement. Consider what's written in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. But exhort or encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now keep in mind that this letter was written to Hebrew Christians who were undergoing tribulation. That tribulation was taking a toll on some of these early Christians. This letter was written for the purpose of encouraging them to remain faithful. One thing that would be of great assistance is for brothers and sisters in the Lord to encourage one another. How often? My Bible says daily. And it says do it while it's called today. That will prevent hardening of the heart. A lot of emphasis is placed in the Bible on encouragement. You know, in the Old Testament, we read about the journey that the children of Israel made from Egypt up to the Promised Land. You can't help but notice that they spent a lot of time murmuring. And God took that personally. He blessed his people abundantly, and they were constantly murmuring. And you know, if some people who have influence on others spend their time murmuring, well, you see what kind of impact that's going to have upon others. Well, I'm glad that Moses didn't give in to that. And then when Moses passed away, I'm glad that Joshua didn't give in to that. They were great men who endeavored to encourage their people. And on the occasion when the spies returned and gave their evil report, Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "The land of Canaan is a great land. The Lord has given it to us. Let's go take it." It's unfortunate, but the majority of Israelites listened to the 10 spies. They paid a high price for their murmuring. God caused them to wander in the wilderness for a period of 40 years until that older generation passed away. Well, the Bible teaches us to avoid the mistake of the Israelites and exhort one another on a daily basis. Matter of fact, I remember one of my teachers in school pointed out that the book of Hebrews refers to itself as a word of exhortation. I believe it's in chapter 13, verse 22. But near the end of the letter, the writer referred to his letter as the word of exhortation. Now, it contains some words of reproof, some very strong words of reproof, but the overall tenor is one of exhortation. And closely related to encouragement is maintaining a spirit of optimism. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now that's in Paul's letter of joy. That's what Philippians is many times called. Where was Paul when he wrote that letter? He was in prison. And we're able to read about his work in Philippi in the book of Acts. And remember that he and Silas were cast into prison. They were beaten. They were put in the middle of the prison, and their feet were made fast in the stocks. How did they respond? At midnight, they sang and they prayed. The Bible says the prisoners heard them. Even under those difficult circumstances, Paul and Silas were showing a spirit of optimism. I've often wondered, after things settled down from the prison being broken up, if any of those prisoners came and talked to Paul about what happened. I don't know if that happened or not. I'm just curious about that, but I do know one thing. I do know that the jailer was saved that night. That is recorded for our benefit. But you know, if Paul and Silas had whined and complained and murmured about everything that happened to them, would they have had a good influence upon their fellow prisoners? No. Well, as we think about following the Lord's example of always doing those things that please the Father, we have a number of responsibilities that relate to other people. And of course, we need to maintain a spirit of optimism. Well, let's talk about some responsibilities that we have toward ourselves. I know that these overlap, but we have responsibilities to ourselves. Now, we don't have time today to deal with every single matter addressed in the Bible that relates to ourselves. But we do want to touch on one thing. Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful or anxious or filled with worry over nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." As we think about personal responsibilities, things that we have to fulfill concerning our own lives, we need to avoid worry and trust God. Those two points are made in this one verse of Scripture. Be careful for nothing. In other words, avoid anxiety. Now, the Lord knows that we have concerns, but we're not to go to the point of being filled with anxiety over things. There's an alternative, and that alternative is given in this verse. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This one verse teaches us to avoid worry and place our trust in God. You know, if we will do that concerning personal matters, that's going to have a tremendous influence upon others who are observing our behavior. And some additional responsibilities that we have to ourselves. When we sin, and we do, we need to repent and we need to seek God's forgiveness. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1 and read verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we sin, we need to confess that, repent of it, and seek God's forgiveness. And when we follow these instructions in this verse of Scripture, we have the assurance that God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Having been cleansed from all unrighteousness, we don't have to labor under the weight of that sin anymore, knowing that God has forgiven us. And when God forgives, he forgets. We might have a hard time dealing with the memories of certain things, but we have the assurance that when God forgives, he forgets. So we do have responsibilities to ourselves, and we want to conclude by looking at our responsibilities to God. Now remember, Jesus set the proper example of always doing those things that please the Father. Well, something that pleases the Father is fulfilling our responsibilities to his word. We pointed out that another thing that pleases the Father is fulfilling our responsibilities to other people. Something else that pleases the Father is fulfilling our responsibilities to ourselves. But we certainly need to be mindful of the fact that we have responsibilities to God. Jesus, when asked to identify the first and great commandment, said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." But there are additional matters involved in loving God. Now, Lord willing, we want to talk about this in more detail this evening. But right now, let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and read verses 2 and 3. We understand the importance of loving God. Jesus identified that as the first and great commandment. But what is involved in loving God? John said, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." We have responsibilities to God. We're to love him, and that involves obeying his will. Now, all these other things that we've already been talking about are included in obeying God's will. But we just tried to look at several categories of responsibilities that we must fulfill if we're going to follow the Lord's example. Remember, he said, "I always do those things that please the Father." Well, that's the Lord's example. And that's my prayer, that we will all endeavor to follow the Lord's example as we go through this new year of 2023. I can remember a couple years ago when 2021 had a beginning, we were all relieved that 2020 was gone, because there were a number of unpleasant things that happened that year. Well, 2022 is gone. The Lord's blessed us by allowing us to begin a new year. I don't know about you, but I think the beginning of a new year is a good time for self-examination and rededication. Well, we need to be mindful of these responsibilities, and with the Lord's help, we need to be determined to fulfill them to the very best of our ability. Now, these things that we've talked about sound familiar. They're wrapped up in the poem that's in today's bulletin. You might have difficulty remembering everything I just preached, but you can cut out this little poem and you can keep it near at hand and you can be reminded of everything that we just covered. Let's read it. How can I use the new year? Well, that's a good question. How can I use the new year to better serve my Lord? I'll read my Bible every day and be more in accord. I think we talked about that, didn't we? I'll find new ways to serve others. I'll love my neighbor too. I'll focus on give instead of get in everything I do. I'll forgive the people I'm mad at. Angry feelings I'll discard. I'll try to love my enemies, even though it's hard. In the new year, I'll lift people up instead of putting them down. I'll fill my heart with love and joy and never wear a frown. I'll let go of my worries. I'll put it all in His hands. I'll repent and try to sin less and obey all His commands. These New Year's resolutions are difficult at best, but there's something I can do each day that will put my soul at rest. I'll love my Lord with all my heart, with all my mind and soul. And if I do that essential thing, all the rest will be in control. Isn't it interesting how that one little poem contains everything that I just spent about 30 minutes preaching? Well, let's remember these things because I know that we're familiar with all of them, but they're just that important. I've been thinking a lot lately about how many times the Apostle Peter in his writings said, I know that you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them anyway because they're just that important. As humans, we have a tendency to forget. We need to be reminded of things on a regular basis. Especially things like this that relate to our eternal destiny. God help us to use this year in a way that glorifies God if we will follow the Lord's example of always doing those things that please the Father. We have the confidence that we'll be in good standing with the Lord.